Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Every Wednesday about this time, we talk to Mayor D.C. Reeves. He is the mayor of Pensacola. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Always good to have you. Okay, so I know we're going to talk a lot about Birdon today because you got a lot of stuff happening, big meeting this afternoon. But I have one kind of oddball sort of question related to trees. And, you know, feel free to say, huh. Okay, so I wouldn't be surprised. Somebody made a comment, and it's not a new idea, that trees on private property are, of course, owned by the person who owns the property, but they also represent a something of a public infrastructure for aesthetics, for pollution, for shade,
for water
mitigation. You know, you're very well, this is the tension, right? We want to save our trees. We don't want to infringe on property rights. How do we solve this problem? Why don't we compensate people for having trees? You know, it's one thing to punish them for getting rid of them, but what if somehow or other people got a rebate on their taxes or a discount on their property taxes based on their tree canopy or their diameters of tree trunk size? It seems like that would be a way to sort of somehow thread the needle between, yes, it's private property, but there's also public benefit.
I mean, listen, in theory, I don't know that you would get major philosophical opposition to something like that. Of course, you know, where my head goes as the operator of the city is, how in God's name are you going to be able to track that and who plants a new tree and not? So logistically, I imagine that would be a heavy lift. If you said you had to figure that out next week, you'd probably start like at a very high level of like a certain size tree of a certain age.
Right.
You know, that it has to be self-reported and verified, you know. So I it's probably more procedural than it would be that, you know, someone wouldn't want to do that. You know, meaning if it mitigated X gallons of stormwater or more based on its size. But here's what I'd tell you. Remember, all of our tree ordinances are ultimately an unfunded mandate from the council. And what I mean is our first arborist that we ever hired was with ARPA money. So our administration we've creatively figured out how to keep one, and frankly, with new rules, very important rules, ones that I support. There's administrative costs that really pulls us behind, and you know, Amy Toodles mentioned that in budget meetings previously. So I guess that's where I would lean to is love the idea in general. It's, you know, how do you execute it?
Sure.
And you know, is it executable? You know, so that would be my longer way of saying, you know, that's interesting, just like you said.
And you know what? A lot of times that's all I'm kind of trying to accomplish is, you know, hey, maybe there's something to be thought about here. And, you know, maybe it's a pilot program or, you know, first of its kind. Maybe it's been done elsewhere. I don't know. But I've been thinking about this problem for a long time, and that's something that occurred to me. I thought, I'll ask the mayor. He's the kind of guy that would think about this. You have a big meeting going on today related to Birdon, right? After the, $9 million the governor came in and made a big announcement. What's happening today?
Yeah, so we actually have our workforce summit. Birdon is obviously a catalyst of that, but American Magic will be there, ST Engineering, Offshore Inland. What we're really looking at is this shipbuilding and advanced manufacturing summit to say, me and you have talked about some of the issues that with ST over the years of you know, that they ran into employer issues a few years ago. And how I've really assessed it is if we had to do over again, we would have been doing this 10 years ago, which is, hey, we've got this big employer coming in. How do we ensure that our Pensacolians and these companies have the best chance for success? So today at 2:30 at Hagler Basin, it is streaming, by the way. If you watch any of the agenda conference council meetings, it'll be streaming online if you want to check it out. But we have about 53 confirmed guests, and this is everybody from UWF and Florida State, Northwest Florida State, Pensacola State. So we have Georgetown, all of those institutions. We have the employers who are going to come say, hey, here's what we need. And we're going to find the good part is with both MRO work at the airport and what Birdon and American Magic and Offshore Inland do, there's a pretty robust middle of the Venn diagram. There are some very similar needs across all of those different industries. And then we'll have Secretary Kelly will be here from Florida Commerce. The Education Commission leadership will be there. So this is a high school discussion as well. This isn't just trade school and this isn't just state college. So It's a short kickoff to what should be a long and very intentional conversation in our community to say, we've got 3,500 jobs alone between ST Engineering and Verdon, just them. And of course, we expect more employers to follow suit. So let's make sure that we are as proactive as possible in making sure that our Pensacolians can get these jobs and that these companies want to be here for the long term because we can build the talent pool for them.
How much of what we're going to be doing with Verdon is a lessons learned from what was a little bit bumpy and still is to some degree with ST Engineering? I mean, I feel like the workforce training component of that is a piece that we continue to try to play catch up on because, you know, we didn't really know what we were doing and we learned along the way that we didn't know and what we did know we shouldn't have known. And, you know, now we're kind of, I mean, we're making headway, but they're building three and I think four sure. is on its way. And there's stuff is happening at the airport. Every time I drive down 12th, I see it. So how much of what's happening today and what will be happening is a byproduct of what we've learned from that?
Yeah, from the local level, it certainly is. But I think there's other national factors that are happening. Obviously, the Trump administration's priority on shipbuilding.
Yeah.
So if you saw the headlines a couple of weeks ago, the Department of Labor federally gave the state of Florida $40 million specific for shipbuilding, workforce training. So we've got the most shovel-ready shipbuilding project in the state, maybe in the United States right now. So I think it's two converging things to your question, Andrew. One is, yes, it's lessons learned here locally. But we also are fortunate that we're at this perfect converging time of such massive need and demand and priority of shipbuilding specifically
or
in this country that we're just kind of at the right place, right time to be able to have significantly more resources, even if we went back in the time machine 10 years ago and did a little more intentional job with ST, that would have been good. But we actually are kind of striking right now at a perfect time in our state and in our country, because we know what the massive shipbuilding demand is, not just in Pensacola, but in Mobile, in Mississippi, in Panama City. So we have competitors to be successful in this. And so I really think it's both of those things kind of happening at the same time.
No, I agreed. And all of that. Superfund sites have been in the news with the city of Pensacola recently. Correct me if I'm wrong, but there are two very different stories at two different Superfund sites. But again, you tell me if I'm wrong. One is the proposal to have the inland port, which I believe is at the Midtown on Highway, you know, the Palafox site, that one. And then the other one is the mitigation work that has now been delayed, but we've been waiting for a long time on the phase one, if I remember correctly, of the American Creosote site. So tell me what's going on with these projects, because it's easy to get confused over which one is which and what they all mean.
Yeah, absolutely. So the first Midtown Commerce Park, that's really a what-if conversation with the county. The county ultimately controls those 30-ish acres of the Midtown Commerce Park. We are looking at property contiguous to that on the private side that's larger. And really, Commissioner May, to his credit, said, hey, when this huge displacement took place, we promised jobs to come back in. Well, I couldn't think of a more golden opportunity for job creation for Midtown Commerce Park than lopping on to a potentially 90-acre inland port with a rail spur where Verdon would move hundreds of jobs the day it opened.
Yeah.
Much less all of those other ancillary companies that are going to be moving in. There's interest from GE putting their nacelles there. There's interest from Blue Wind. There's lots of enthusiasm, both with local employers as well as federal agencies. EDA is very optimistic about this. So the military is very optimistic about this. So there's a lot of momentum. And so the Midtown Commerce Park coming in and compounding the impact of that inland port, I mean, I couldn't think of a better job creation opportunity. So that's really in the exploration phase of, hey, county, is this something you want to do? ACW, we were fortunate, and this is why.
That's the American Creosote work site by the down by the Corinne Jones in that vicinity. Anyway, go ahead. Just for people who don't know the acronym.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah. Kind of, I always say kind of the corner of Brancas and Maine.
There you go.
You see those fences there if you're ever going to or from the Navy base. But ultimately, 18 acres there and has been a Superfund site since 2 years before I was born. And we're really proud of the fact that we finally have gotten the funding moving here. There's been about the same amount of funding since 2021. With that, like every project, the delta gets bigger and bigger of what it actually costs. So our friends at EPA I made two specific trips to Washington, D.C. just on this issue And they granted us another $8.9 million to fund the delta of phase one. And we expect to get a significant portion of funding for phase two, maybe not all of it. It's about a $60-plus million phase. But we actually expect any time now to hear about some good news on phase two.
So oh, great.
What that means for you, bottom line, is we were looking at July. We're on the EPA schedule. The city is not doing the construction, the remediation, none of that. This is all going to be done federally. But we're expecting there was an update given to the neighborhood, I believe, last night. But it should be in any week now where you're going to start to see yards extracted and remediated and things like that down in the Sanders Beach area.
No, oh, very good. I mean, that's all very exciting stuff. By the way, we're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves, and I do want to remind you that this interview is brought to you by Lambert Transfer and Storage. Choose the team with a legacy. Lambert Moving Systems. Visit GoLambertTeam.com. You and I have talked many times about the airport, and we didn't really have a chance to talk about this since the announcement of a $6 million infrastructure grant for the new terminal?
Yeah. We've got that. We've gotten the half a million to redo the where you go pick people up up front and how the traffic flows.
Oh, okay.
What is
the plan for that? What is the intended long-term change for that?
There's some challenges, kind of legacy challenges, and it's things you don't think about even when you go use our airport, like, for example, where the rental cars have to be cleaned and dropped off and come from to get back into the garage. They have to go circumnavigate the entire airport almost,
okay.
For example. It's all those little things. It's just our curb isn't right for our capacity, or it's not operating as efficient as it could. So that's going to be a study that will allow it. So it'll be great for passengers, but also kind of great for the logistics that you may not notice about the airport, that make sure that we're moving people and we're eliminating traffic and all of those things.
Largely a byproduct of the fact that we were a small town with a small airport, and now we're a middle-sized town with a middle-sized growing airport. And, you know, sometimes the conversion from the one to the other has some challenges attached to it.
That's right. So, I mean, and so our airport team's doing an awesome job. We were joking. I think there's like 10 items on the next council agenda that are all, grant-related, acceptances, votes from the council. So those are all good items to have. Hey, help us approve getting all this money in to get this airport going.
I did hate to have Matt Coughlin have to wade through all the conversations about curfew and everything else the last time around and all of that nonsense before he could give his, 18 seconds of talking or whatever, but okay, fair enough. that's just kind of how things work.
Draw the short straw, I guess. If you're
no kidding.
After all those things.
Tomorrow night, first Division I football game. You're a longtime sports fan, big supporter of UWF. Yeah. Thoughts? And the basketball game, the FSU basketball game that's coming too. Both.
Yeah, there's old News Journal archive columns from me from 15 years ago talking about the value of going to Division I. This is when it was debated pre-football, of course.
But, yeah.
So even better now, Division I football. We're excited for that. They're going to play. Of course, I'm an FSU alum, and it was also announced that FSU basketball is going to play a regular season game over here,
right,
with the Bay Center. I'm very excited about that on the Sunday of Thanksgiving weekend. It's great. I love seeing this enthusiasm, and there's really no replacing the enthusiasm of playing Division I and playing against those teams and just having those fan bases come into Pensacola that you know. So really excited for the entire university, for the athletic department, and really looking forward to this season.
No, it's going to be fantastic. I can't wait to watch it. All right, we always like to end with a lightning round. Quick questions for you. First thing, Oreos come out with some recent flavor interesting ideas, including chicken and waffle Oreos. Would you try them, and is there a flavor of Oreo you'd like to see them make?
Man, I don't know about meat on cookies. I'd probably go no on that.
You don't put bacon on your maple donut?
You got me second guessing myself. Yeah, I would do that.
All right, fair enough.
Well, there's so much fat and sugar that goes out of the donut. It's not as a
well. That's why you got to round out the food groups. Okay. I'll let you pass on that one. Fruit served at room temperature or at cold refrigerated temperature?
Preferably cold. crunchy and cold. That's how I like fruit.
Fine, whatever. Okay, last one. Here's a chance for you to redeem yourself, although I think the majority was with you on the cold fruit one. When you open a yogurt or a pudding and you've got that little bit on the lid, do you lick it, spoon it, or throw it out?
I actually take the top and then edge the side of it so it goes into the container that I'm eating.
Okay, so you slide it along the container so that it goes back in and you eat it with the spoon.
Exactly. Now, I don't know, you know, it sounds like you might have do it like the way I did it when I was 9 years old. I'm not sure, you know.
Oh, yeah, I'm a lid licker. I'm 100% a lid licker. Yeah, I don't have time to be like
proper for that, Andrew.
Being all proper and
scrape it in.
I'm not so dainty with my lids, but I think you're not alone in that. D.C. Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola, as always, sir, thank you for the time. We'll look forward to talking again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.